comic books, movies, TV, and more. Nerds are everywhere. It's time to assemble! It's Nerds United, a Jittery Monkey podcast. Here's your host, Greg Mahochko.
Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Nerds United on the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network and all of your favorite podcast platforms. My name is Greg Mahochko. Joining me, as always, the co-host of the year, Mike Luther. Hi, Mike.
Hello.
How are you, sir?
Not too bad.
Good. All warmed up after that 40 or so minute podcast or YouTube show that we just recorded.
Yeah, we should have just done an extra 20 minutes and just called it our podcast.
We should have. I could have pulled the audio. It would have been super easy, barely an inconvenience.
Yes. Good. Very nice. Very clever.
I've got to reach out to him and see if he'd like to be a guest on the YouTube or something sometime. What a fun guy. What a fun conversation that would be.
Yeah.
If you don't know what we're talking about, just hop on YouTube sometime and throw in any of your favorite. Actually, you don't even have to throw in a title. Just type in pitch meeting and then watch a few. And I don't even care. Even the movies that I love, the way that they're discussed on that YouTube channel, that pitch meeting episodic series, I just get downright tickled by it. It's such a fun concept. Well done to Ryan George and everybody Screen Rant for that concept.
Yes, definitely.
But we're not here to put over other people's shows. We're here for our own show. And after the 40 or so minute episode we just did on YouTube, might not expect a 2-hour show. Mike's already rubbing his eyes and is thinking about sleep.
Yes.
So let's get right into it. Mike, it dawned on me middle of this week that you know what we didn't do last week?
We did not go to the book, I believe.
We did not go to the book, so we're going to start there and make sure we get it in. Mike, tell the good people the book.
Well, it is The League of Regrettable Superheroes by John Morris. Of course, as we all know, it's the loot crate edition.
And we are running out of regrettable superheroes.
I'm surprised it's lasted this long.
I don't know, maybe we don't know if you're enjoying it or not. I started this years ago. I'm basically just working my way through it now. So we're going to jump to 1983 and debuting in a comic or his own title. So it was this character number one from Pacific Comics, November 1983, created by the great Neil Adams. In a rare miss, we have Skate Man, as in Roller Skate Man.
Which makes it even worse. No offense to, I guess, roller skater people. But when I hear Skate Man, I'm thinking skateboard, cool, you know.
Where are you at on inline skates, Mike?
They're cooler than roller skates. But not as cool as skateboarding.
I also found in my youth that roller skates did not like me. Like, I couldn't operate roller skates, which is a weird thing to say or a weird phrasing, but I could rollerblade. I mean, I wasn't great at it, and I couldn't, like, go, you know, skate backwards or anything like that. But I could get myself, you know, we've talked about that, you know, here recently on Nerds United while talking about D2, the Mighty Ducks. You know, I could operate some inline skates okay, but not roller skates. But Billy Moon is a martial artist who returns from Vietnam to find that only roller derby can quell the turmoil in his soul. Taken exactly from the book by John Morris, he soon finds himself framed for the in-ring death of his closest pal, Jack. Here we go. Inspired by a young acquaintance's comic book collection, Billy decides to adopt the identity of a masked vigilante to avenge his friend's death. Looking back on the skills learned in his years of military service and lifelong study of the martial arts, he decides to base his costumed identity on roller skating naturally. Thus, Skate Man is born. That's a tough pill to swallow.
When did that come?
1983.
Okay, yeah. I was going to say, it sounds very much like an 80s or 90s thing.
By the way, and I showed you the picture. I don't know if you've done any more looking up of what the character looks like on your end, but it looks like he might be wearing a Walkman. He has a small utility belt, a red T-shirt, some short shorts of the time, knee pads, roller skates, and if you think about it, like a kind of like Iron Fist's mask, you know, that kind of covers the nose right. And up, and but it's like the mask, whereas, you know, on Iron Fist, it kind of has two little ties, or, you know, like the strings that go back, but it's almost like his mask has a cape, which is kind of a weird thing, you know. So a rare miss for Neil Adams. Of course, Adams did X-Men, Avengers, Deadman, Batman. He had the Green Lantern, Green Arrow that we talked about, the Hard Traveling Heroes. And if you don't know, he's been kind of a lifelong champion for creators' rights, things like that. So, but roller derby, man. Did you ever watch roller derby? Like, have you ever watched roller derby?
No. Never.
I did. I watched it. It used to be on TNN Friday nights at like 7 or 8 back in the 90s. I don't know the years, but you know, like, and you would watch these teams, and you had, you know, like the babyface teams and the heel teams, and you know, like the teams that would lie, cheat, and steal to win, and then the ones who followed the rules and had to, you know, it was like, it really was kind of like professional wrestling on skates. Less body slams and more like elbows.
Did they ever do a roller movie?
Was there a Rollerball?
Maybe something like that. For some reason, I'm thinking they did.
I feel like there was one, and there was like a remake with LL Cool J.
Maybe, okay, yeah.
So there was a Rollerball was 1975. And again in 2002, which was the remake starring Chris Klein from American Pie. Jean Reno, who was in the Mission Impossible movies, LL Cool J, as I mentioned, Rebecca Romijn, Rollerball, the 1975. It's very futuristic and very violent. It's not like the roller derby of, you know, like going down to the community center and watching roller derby. Not that we have that. I wish we did. Sign me up for season tickets for roller derby, Mike.
Yes. They've done a couple of roller derby movies, but nothing that was really big.
Watch or seeing that picture of Skate Man reminds me of a game I played on Sega Genesis in my youth called Streets of Rage.
Okay.
Do you remember Streets of Rage?
Nope.
So it was like a co-op game. You know, you could kind of like, I mean, it was like a side-scrolling kind of like Double Dragon, except you weren't brothers and you could pick through like four or five different characters, you and your buddy. And I always picked a kid who was on roller skates and had like a lead pipe that kind of looked like a hockey stick, you know. But okay. But that's the kind of what that character reminded me of, you know, because that's about the only other badass on wheels that I've ever seen in that regard. So, yeah. Skate Man, by the way, one issue.
Oh, okay. All right. So, yeah, it definitely did not do too well.
And it was in the book here, it tells us that kind of maybe a mercy killing type of thing. The issue ends abruptly on a climactic explosion.
Oh, they got to bring it back then.
Could you imagine if he, if Neil Adams, who, by the way, is still with us and does like live drawings on Facebook and things like that, if you follow his Facebook page, somebody should be like, hey, Neil, could you I'd like to commission a skate man.
Yeah.
Just to see what he would say.
I'm sure somebody has. Somebody has had to.
Oh, over the years.
You always got those people that their favorite thing or whatever it is always the most obscure thing, and they got to do that on purpose.
Yeah, be a contrarian.
Like, yeah.
Their name is Chad Smart.
Yeah, I would not be surprised if Chad did that, yes.
I mean, the apple and cats and, you know, Chad's a good guy, but he's a little bit of a oddball. Hope he's listening. So we're running out of superheroes, and that's okay. We're about ready to put that book to rest. Mike, you have been doing some reading of your own, but it's not something so regrettable or forgettable as Skate Man. You've been reading one of the seminal works of really American literature, not just comic books or graphic novels.
Yeah, well, according to the cover of it, it was one of Time Magazine's 100 best novels, which is The Watchmen. I'm not finished with it yet.
Where are you at?
Chapter 10, I believe it is, but it's about, I would say, definitely more than three-fourths of the way through.
Oh, yeah. You showed me where the marker was. I'm going to try to, since I don't know exactly where you are, I'm curious. Rorschach?
Yep.
Is he in jail?
I have been introduced to Rorschach, yep.
Is he in jail?
Yeah, he's in jail. In fact, he was in jail, and then I believe they've broken him out already.
Okay.
Night Owl and whatever the lady's name is.
Silk Spectre?
Yes, that's probably sounds right.
Are you even paying attention?
Yeah. I don't know if I've ever seen them call her Silk Spectre.
Hmm.
Jupiter or some kind of Justicic thing.
Oh yeah, Sally. I know who you're talking about.
But so it's like I think I talked about last podcast or last video. I know how this ends, and I know how the movie ends, and I know they end differently.
Mm-hmm.
And there was not controversy over that, but you know, I just knew it. But I will say, so for the Watchmen graphic novels so far, that does not matter. And I'm enjoying the story, and there's a lot more to the story that I didn't know. I really didn't know much about Watchmen. I remember hearing about it, obviously. I've seen a couple clips of the movie just over time. But there was, like, I didn't realize when it was set, you know.
Nixon's 1980s.
Yeah. I was doing a little bit of research on this. I didn't realize when the graphic novel came out. So I think the graphic novel came out, like, in the 80s.
I think you're right.
Yeah, which is crazy. I think I heard rumors about either Alan Moore or somebody else saying, and maybe this is a different move, different novel, I'm not sure, but that The Watchmen could never be made into a movie.
You're right, Alan Moore.
Okay.
So he doesn't, when you get to the movie, he's not listed on the credits. He took zero compensation. He was quite defiant about that property ever, you know, being adapted. Not only was it adapted, it was adapted by Zack Snyder, who did, you know, he adapted Frank Miller's 300. And, you know, I have not read the book, but I saw the movie and own the movie. But it's, you know, artistically, it's in that style of, you know, like of Frank Miller's hand. Have you seen 300?
Yeah.
So, you know, like early on when they're explaining the training of Spartan boys, and you see a young Leonidas out there, and he, you know, corners the wolf, or you know, the wolf corners him, I should say, but you know, he's prepared for it. And but you, like, when you don't see the outline of the wolf, but you just see like the yellow eyes, like that's what it looks right. like in the book too. So it's you know, and I think that was both one of the criticisms of Watchmen, as well as one of the, you know, like, oh good, somebody finally did it, you know, of Watchmen the movie, was that it's very faithful to the book with the exception of that third act. So
okay, because I was kind of curious about that, whether or not the movie's going to be able to live up to the book. The book, obviously, a very thick book, a lot, very dense, a lot of story in it. I don't know how long the movie is, but if it's got to be at least 2 hours for it to get all to get all of the content of this book so far. You know, is that I know the third act has changed, or the end has changed. But I'm hoping that it's at least equal to, yeah,
162 minutes runtime, or 186 with the director's cut.
So close to 3 hours?
186 is 3 hours and 6 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
Now, you think about it, director's cut, and this is from 12 years ago when Watchmen came out in 2009, and here we are in 2021, and we're getting another Zack Snyder director's cut.
And a four-hour one. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, it's funny that you're reading Watchmen while sitting on my desk, which I will read at some point, is Doomsday Clock, which is the DC Universe Watchmen kind of crossover.
Interesting.
That's written by Jeff Johns, art by Gary Frank, Brad Anderson as well. That's one that I got to get going on, because I've been wanting to read it for a while. In fact, I might have a single issue or two around the house, but never, you know, proceeded with them, because I just like it's. I talked to Tim and Brian there at Twilight Comics, Swansea, Illinois, and I say, I'm just going to hold off. You know, like, I'll get an issue or two, whet my appetite for it, and then I'll say, put me down for the trade paperback when it comes out. So, and they're very good about that. But so I've got to read Doomsday Clock. As I'm sure you've seen in the book, there has been discussion about the Doomsday Clock probably by now where you are.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it, and I, with the exception of like having to explain around that third act, it, I feel like the dialogue is almost identical. You know, like a lot of the Rorschach monologues and things like that are taken right from the pages.
Yeah, I, because one clip that I've seen is Rorschach in prison, and he has the line of, I'm not locked in here with you, you're locked in here with me.
Yeah.
And that's taken directly from the book. And I'll tell you, with the book, the one of the last things that I read or saw was Dr. Manhattan took Silk Spectre, or whatever her name is, to Mars, and was explaining stuff to her on Mars. And I do kind of like the way I like, and I don't like the way they explained how Dr. Manhattan sees time, where mm-hmm. he's in the present and the past, because it's really cool of him going, you know, now I'm in 1981, blah blah blah, and now I'm in 1942, blah, whatever, you know. But after a while, like, read the I'm like, okay, I get it. Yep, okay.
But then you remember that in the HBO series for Watchmen, where Dr. Manhattan is doing the same thing with a Regina King's character.
Yes, yes.
You know,
In the book, there are certain times after every chapter, there's like a little kind of mini book.
Right.
And I just
Tales of the Black Freighter.
Yeah, and I completely skip that, by the way, because I. Well, if I wanted to read a book, I would read a book. So I just went, okay, flip, 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 flip. Okay, here's pictures. Good.
Oh, wait. Maybe I'm thinking of something different. All right, because in the graphic novel, there are Like, you know, you see the kid at the newsstand and he's reading a comic, which is the Tales of the Black Freighter. Is that what you're talking about? Or are you talking about like an actual novelization?
Actual novelization.
Oh, okay, 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 okay.
There is, well, one that talks about Rorschach, but I know Under the Hood is the title for some of them.
Mm. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Under the Hood. Yeah.
That's right. In the fictional world, that is Owlman, the original Owlman's autobiography.
Okay.
So it actually is kind of pertinent to the story, but, I mean, if you've gotten to the point where you're there, then there's a good chance that the top knots have already beaten the old man to death.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay. I was like, I'm trying to tiptoe because I can't exactly remember where in the story that falls. So,
and by the way, nothing is going to be really pertinent because I've seen Watchmen TV show and I was able to follow it along.
It's true.
So, yeah, I'm just going back now. And so eventually, I'm looking forward to finishing this so I can watch the movie. So I can go back and watch the TV show, and then after that, I'll go back to the comic book or the graphic novel, and I'll read whatever it is.
So, it's obviously, and I know you're not to the end yet, but it's obviously very heavy on, you know, I don't want to say, you know, politics is the right word, but it definitely has its slant.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, where are you at on, and I'm not, you know, not asking your personal political beliefs, but like, are you all right with just like that much, like the book crammed that much with, you know, political allegories?
Yeah, only because, I know it's just a fantasy type of thing and, you know, it's nothing too crazy in it, you know, I mean, it's, I've seen worse on, you know, Facebook comments. So
that's true.
Know, like on whatever.
Yeah, that's true. Facebook gives everybody a voice.
Yeah, you can do that as long as you give me like a, you know, a superhero scene every once in a while.
All right. Okay. So that's Watchmen. Like I said, I've got Doomsday Clock here, which I guess kind of is a sequel of sorts to that. They also did Watchmen. Like Minutemen tie-ins. I think Geoff Johns did a lot of those maybe a decade or so back that were like prequels to Watchmen. So you had like the original Silk Spectre and the comedian and you know, things like that. So that might be something to look into as well if you've liked what you've read so far.
Yes, indeed.
So that's where you're at on comics, and I don't remember what else we were going to talk about before we get to the big thing that we're going to talk about.
I don't even know what big thing we're going to talk about.
Oh, the show that we've been tracking weekly?
Oh, yeah. Can't say too much about it.
We can at the very end. We'll spoil it at the very end. And then we can say,
yeah.
Hey, if you don't want to know what's going on, then shut it off now.
That is true. So I a little bit of news. I know that Blade has a writer now. In fact, I think it goes along with Watchmen because I think it was one of the writers of Watchmen. And I cannot remember her name. I put it on our Facebook page, though.
I'm on it. Matt. She is being tapped to write something else. Blade. Stacy Osikafor, probably not pronouncing that right, and I apologize, will write Marvel's Blade movie. I like your hashtags of Daywalker.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what he is. You know.
That's true. And
we didn't talk about this either, but so obviously, you know, Watchmen was terrific show, you know, wonderful to watch. So interesting to see. The problem is, I really like Wesley Snipes' Blade. I'm not, I'm not saying I'm not going to like this blade, but you know, maybe it's because it had the added bonus of Kris Kristofferson, who I like as a singer, as a songwriter, and as a whistler who didn't take no shit, you know.
Right.
But there were so many things about that original, you know, the really kind of the first Marvel trilogy that I enjoyed. So I'm curious to see how, you know, maybe that Watchmen style. We don't know if Blade's a character that could be rated R, and I feel like there's a conversation to be had there. Like, maybe we already have, is do comic book movies need to be rated R? I think we already talked about that a little bit.
I'm sure we have. Do they need to be? No. Would Blade benefit from it? Probably.
Well, because just the Snyder Cut's going to be rated R, you know? And
well, yeah, but that's another one that's like, does that need to be rated R? And somebody else kind of brought this up. In a comment or something like that, or an article, where it's like, you have the Justice League, which for the most part is family friendly, kids and stuff like that, and then now it's rated R.
I anything that includes Superman and Wonder Woman, in my opinion, should not be rated R. Because
because
this is not, he's like, you know, this, it's an S on our world, but on his world, it's a symbol for hope. And Diana, you know, Wonder Woman is a symbol of hope, not just for, like, you know, the characters, you know, the residents of, you know, the world that she inhabits, but, you know, girls and women all around the world, you know, in our actual real life, you know, type of thing. So, and you know, the Flash as a character is a little too quippy, I think, to lend itself to rated R. I mean, it's a different type of, you know, like wit from, like, you know, Deadpool, obviously. There's just nothing, even Batman, like, there are plenty of stories of Batman just like beating the shit out of, you know, people. But I don't know. I'll go so far as to say, and maybe I'm an old man, maybe I'm a prude, whatever, but, like, I don't even think you need to drop all the S-bombs you drop in the Marvel movies. You know, like, what, that doesn't really elevate the story. You're just doing it.
Yeah, but that's very rare.
It happens more frequently now. You know, I mean, I notice it because, you know, I'm maybe watching Endgame next to a 5-year-old, or he's on the floor playing with toys or something. And I'm like, well, that happened, you know. Like, there was an incident a couple days ago in the house where it wasn't like a spill. I can't remember the exact reason, but I know my wife, again, almost 32 weeks pregnant with twins, every right to be as tired and exhausted as she is. And she's, I think, trying to get up off the couch or something, and she's like, damn it. And then my son, who's sitting there, is like, damn it. And I'm at work, so my hands are clean. But she's right. she's like, and I said a bad word. And then he said a bad word. So I'm like, maybe I'm more sensitive to it because I'm, you know, I don't need my 5-year-old taking a bunch of swear words to preschool. But, you know, then again, I've got my buddy John over at Coronation that I do a podcast with, and he says, if you, the father, don't teach your son how to cuss, then I'll do it, damn it. It's like, thanks, John. But
I think they're making it rated R just to make it rated R to, I don't know, is Superman going to say fuck Batman? Who knows? you know?
And like, look, if you get to a point where if you were going to adapt Flashpoint or Flashpoint Paradox, I think the Flashpoint Paradox is the animated movie and Flashpoint is just the story. But, you know, where you have, you know, Mara's severed head sitting there, okay, maybe.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I just, you can work around it. I think when if you're doing that just for shock value, you know, if you're throwing a lot of language or a lot of unnecessary violence in something that, you know, again, Superman should be for all ages. Wonder right. Woman should be for all ages. And I think if you're just throwing a lot of it for shock value, then that's pretty lazy, in my opinion.
Yeah. So. And well, also granted, we haven't seen Justice League, the Snyder Cut, yet.
Yeah.
So it is rated R, but maybe it's because you can get rated R for just showing a little bit more blood than you need, you know.
I thought you were going to say showing a little bit more boob.
Showing just a little bit more boob than normal, you know.
I can see now Ben right. Affleck shirtless in the Batcave. Like, that's it. Rated R. Can't have that.
No. Somebody way smarter than me, and I can't remember who, but they were talking about, you know, radar movies and stuff like that, and they said that you shouldn't, like, write your script based on what the rating is. You should just write your script first and then see where it is from there. So if you write a script, if you write a Justice League script and there's no swearing and stuff like that, okay, fine, it's PG-13. But don't go, I'm going to write a rated R Justice League.
Yeah.
Because then you're going to purposely write in swear words and graphic stuff.
I remember, I think this is the first time I was conscious about it, but you got to go back to early 2000s. You remember the Justin Long movie, Accepted?
Yes, indeed.
And I think Jonah Hill was in that one, too. I know we spoke about him earlier on the YouTube show.
That was his first movie, I believe.
Jonah?
Maybe one of his second movies. First movie was 40-Year-Old Virgin.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he had a very small part in that, in the eBay store.
Yeah.
But in Accepted, they have Lewis Black, a comedian who's, you know, very known for being very fired up, he played anger in the Inside Out movie, if that gives you any idea, folks. But at one point he's going on a rant and he drops an F-bomb. And, you know, okay, well, that's an F-bomb. Ah, it's a PG-13 movie. And then at the very end of the movie where, you know, like the South Harmon Institute of Technology is up and running and, you know, he's a professor or instructor or something like that and he's giving a lecture and he says, you know, he almost could be one of his stand-up bits because it's, you know, it's motivating, it's inspiring, it's a little, you know, politically charged, but it's aimed at the younger generation. And he says, you got to do this, all right, because if you don't do this, then we're all... And then he goes to drop that other F-bomb, and it's bleeped out in the theater on the DVD. And I'm like, why would they do that? And I look up, because a PG-13 movie, at least 20 years ago, can only have one F-bomb in it.
Yep.
So they bleeped the second one out so they can keep it a PG-13 movie without, you know, asking Lewis Black to go back and be like, could you say we're in trouble? Could you say we're screwed?
Right.
No, you're not going to do that to Lewis Black, at the type of career that he's had. I don't know. I don't know how we got off topic.
Well, we were talking about Blade and rated R.
Yeah. So,
And Blade is one of those that I think, like I said, I think could be rated R. I don't know how Marvel's going to do it, though. I was just thinking about this, and I was going to look it up. I don't know what the original Blade was rated.
I think it was rated R. I mean, it's Wesley Snipes. You have that bloodbath scene very early on. I could very well see it being rated R. You have Deadpool 3 going to be rated R. I don't know. Maybe they, since they own it, maybe they keep the 20th Century Fox imprint and maybe release movies under that. I don't know. They go ahead.
Well, we've talked about that before.
Yeah.
That we're doing a separate thing because Deadpool 3 will be rated R. They're going to have some section. They'll have something where it's Disney owned, but it's not. You're not seeing the Disney logo up front.
Right.
And they're going to have to.
So that's Blade. Elsewhere in Marvel land is Black Panther. And that is that Black Panther series is coming to Disney Plus.
Disney Plus, yeah. I'm not sure when it is. I think they're still in development with it or still writing it with Ryan Coogler.
I was going to say Ryan Coogler.
Directed, well, I almost called it Wakanda, Black Panther 1 and is working on Black Panther 2 or has been working on it for a while now. But it's a Wakanda series. So I believe the little bit that I've read on it, they're going to focus on the nation of Wakanda, which I kind of think is what they're going to be doing with Black Panther 2.
Right.
You know, with the untimely passing of Mr. Chadwick Boseman. I like what he did with Black Panther. In fact, I like what he did with a lot of movies. Like Creed, I liked.
I haven't seen Creed, and it's not because it's not for any nefarious reasons. I've wanted to. I haven't yet, and I had it on my Amazon Prime queue, and then it was off the free. And I'm like, well, I'll catch it next time.
that reminds me of one thing we're going to talk about. Speaking of Amazon Prime, before we talk about WandaVision,
yes,
is I started watching a show that you had talked about because I started watching. I was like, well, at least they'll give us something to talk about on the podcast if I'm into it. And that was the TV show Grimm.
Yeah. What do you think about that one?
Greg has talked about Grimm a couple times. I know. I did not realize how far in it you were.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of what I probably didn't start watching it till beginning of this year.
And you're that far ahead?
I think. Like, I don't think I was watching it before Christmas because I was. I don't know. Maybe I was.
Because I would have guessed you were like maybe one or two seasons in. Which, by the way. I'm on season one, like episode 13 or something like that, and Greg told me he's like last episode of season four.
Right, and there are six seasons. I'm on episode 22 of season four.
Yeah.
It's called, the title of the episode is Cry Havoc.
Okay. And, which Cry Havoc, that was a graphic novel too. Because I think I have it downstairs actually. This is a like full like I think most of the episodes are 40 minutes or 40 plus minutes, and it's 23 season episode type of thing or 23 episode seasons.
Yep.
So Greg apparently has done nothing but watch Grimm.
So perfect example is when we're done. You know, my family, it's 10:30 on a Saturday night. My family's asleep. When we're done recording, I will take my laptop to the couch and do the editing, and I'll turn on and finish watching episode 22, the season finale of season 4. It's one of the couple of apps that work on my iPad mini because my iPad mini is old, so I can't like get Disney on there or HBO Max or anything like that, but I can get Netflix and Prime. And so I'll sit there, you know, if I'm like folding laundry or something like that, and I'll have it on my tablet. What in the world is going on over there, Mike?
That's Nolan.
Nolan.
So I had to go downstairs to get some water.
Been there, done that. You know, you did it right here in the middle of the show, though. So, you know, that's what everybody likes to hear.
That's all right. Everybody loves me.
It's true. That's why you're the co-host of the year. Reigning, defending, right. Undefeated, undisputed co-host of the year, Mike Luther.
Damn right.
230 pounds of twisted steel and sex appeal.
Shit, I wish I was 230.
I upped it a little bit, not to make you feel bad, but I know it used to be 215 pounds. Now I'm trying to get more realistic for you.
Last time I was 215 pounds, probably like 5 years ago.
So you're saying there's a chance?
Yeah. I will probably be going back to the gym soon here because I froze my account but I could only do that for a month. So actually tomorrow, I think the money comes out of my account for the gym. So the money comes out of the account and it's like, well, might as well go back. So I'll be lifting, instead of lifting, graphic novels, I'll be, lifting actual weights, which I'm looking forward to. I wish I didn't have to wear a mask, but I understand.
Well, they're wearing masks to play high school basketball in this state, and I'm sure, you know, some others, like on the court, which is the craziest thing, to be on the court, running up and down the court, and having to wear a mask. But yeah. I know, you know, parents and I guess athletes are just excited to be out there playing. So whatever they got to do, make them happy. Anyway, back to Grimm. We got sidetracked. You're 13 or 14 yes. episodes in. What do you think so far?
Pretty good so far. It's very much a usual police drama with like the fantasy element.
It was like the Monster of the Week, literally.
With Monster of the Week, and I forget what they call them, Blue Bud or something like that.
So they're Vessin. Is the term for the overall category of the non-human creatures.
Right.
But Monroe is, you're right, he's a blue bod. And we met him in the pilot episode. And in the second episode, I'd have to go way back to remember, but I think they encounter some bear-like creatures.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, you're going to find something at the end of season one is going to kick off a rivalry that I'm still, like, they're still in the process of paying it off four seasons later. And I don't think we're to the end of it yet. It's business has picked up. I can't put it down.
One thing that it kind of makes me think about is, and I know science goes against this, but I've seen a lot of people, for the people that haven't seen the show, there's certain times in the TV show where these Vessins or whatever there are, they'll show themselves to Grimm, as mm-hmm. far as show themselves that they have a regular human face, and then all of a sudden, bam, it's like they kind of turn into like maybe a mouse a little bit, or like a hawk or
a wolf, whatever their inner monster, their true side is. And they do explain that later in the series.
It kind of made me think, like, I've seen quite a few people that they have to be descendants of like mice. And I mean, like, I've seen people with like mousy faces,
like in your real life,
in real life.
Okay, okay.
Like, not that they've shown it to me, but they have mousy facial features, and I'm just like, there's no way you can't be. You have to be a descendant of mouse.
That's it. Next time I go to shave and trim my goatee, I'm gonna keep like three or four of my right side whiskers. I'm gonna not trim those, and then eventually I'm gonna get them long, and I'm just gonna be like I'm gonna have long whiskers that go out. That's a joke.
Yes, do that. Well, I'm not even saying it's in a bad way either, because some of them look good, and I don't know what that means about me. But like, I remember, this is how far back it is. I remember talking to a girl when I went to ISU for a little bit, and she very much had mousy features.
Interesting.
I don't even remember her name. I just remember that she had mousy features.
Maybe you're a Grimm, Mike.
I could be. Who knows? Oh, and that's the other thing about you would think that they would do like a play on Grimm, but his name would be like, you know, John Grimson or something like that. But nothing. His name's like Ben something or other, and it's not nothing to do with Grimm.
His name's Nick, and if you're 13 episodes in, you should know that.
Nick, Ben, whatever. It's the same thing.
This is a spoiler-free asset or opinion I'll provide. One of my favorite characters on the show is Sergeant Wu. He's like the in uniform police officer. He gets some of like the best. They give him some of the best material to work with because he doesn't know anything about like the monsters or anything like that. He gets like some of the best lines, and he makes some of the best facial features. You know, like when the main character and the two detectives walk away, and he'll kind of like side eye him like and make some wisecrack. It's he's one of my favorite characters on the show.
I absolutely agree with you there. I will say, when I watched the pilot episode, and I was, for almost any TV series, what happens is they film the pilot first, and then they take it, and they see if anybody wants it. So, a lot of times, for your pilot episode, the characters are slightly different, because they haven't worked them out yet, and even just the way they look mm-hmm. are slightly different, because in the pilot episode, and by the way, I know that I have no room to talk because I'm losing my hair, but that dude had the most basic create a character haircut I have ever seen in my entire life.
I have to go back and look because I think it might be the haircut that he has like on my load screen on the tablet. You know, like it shows like, you know, half a dozen of the cast members, you know, it shows right. like the Grimm and his partner and Sergeant Wu, like I mentioned, and his girlfriend and, Monroe, the Blute Bad. But he's got like a head of hair. Like there's no style to it at all. It's just like, it's all there. It looked like my hair about 3 weeks ago.
Well, it's all there. It's parted to the right. No style to it whatsoever. It's just, yeah. Like now in the season, he has a little bit to it. But mm-hmm. I just remember thinking about it. Wow, that's the most basic dude I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Most basic haircut.
I actually, best friend of the show, Josh, asked me, he's like, I need a character who's, or an actor who's give or take this. He was asking me to cast like a character from a book series that he reads. And I said, yeah, check out this guy. And it was the guy who plays Nick. And he Googles him. He's like, oh, that's perfect. I said, well, he's like a couple inches shorter than he's like, yeah, that's fine. So, you know, you can see, you start to see some of that, I don't know, that, personality or, you know, he is a more rounded, more well-rounded, more realistic looking character, if that's a thing to say, as the show goes on.
Yeah, I told you that since I started watching, now I have to watch the whole thing.
Sorry.
Because that's just my, you know, that's all right. Once I got into the first episode, I was like, okay, I can do this.
But here's the thing. You know it's six seasons. It has yeah. – it's ended. It's over. You know what you're getting into. It's not like The Walking Dead.
True, yeah, yeah.
Where absolutely. You're still waiting for it to go bye-bye, you know.
Oh, speaking of TV shows, though, I will reiterate that you should watch What We Do in the Shadows.
Okay, and I think I told you that I watched that once, and I need to give it another look. So
yeah. Now, granted, your idea of comedy, as we've found out from the YouTube video, is horrible because you don't like Will Ferrell movies.
Hey, wait, so, time out. Thanks to you, I'm a fan of Community.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, now I've watched through twice.
Okay, good, good.
I am a fan of Brooklyn Nine-Nine, thanks to you.
Yeah.
Thanks to a couple others, I've, you know, become a fan of The Office. I'm not a cookie cutter man, you know, like I'm a little bit of everything.
There's, I will say, and this doesn't spoil anything for What We Do in the Shadows, but Benedict Wong, who plays, I believe, Wong, in Doctor Strange, has a cameo, I guess, in What We Do in the Shadows, and he is super funny in it.
I'm trying to figure out, I think Jermaine Clement is also in the show.
Jermaine? I think he, well, he's a producer of
okay.
it.
Okay. He's maybe on the creative team or something like that.
Yeah.
Or some type of behind the scenes.
Yeah, he was, I believe, because so they have What We Do in the Shadows, the movie, and then they have the TV show. And he was in the movie. The characters in the movie aren't the characters in the TV show. But it's the same. It's the same
premise
aspect of it.
Gotcha.
That's a mockumentary.
All right. Well, now I know. I'll give it. I'll get through Grimm, and then I'll get to What We Do in the Shadows.
Oh, and I'll give you another good plus about What We Do in the Shadows is the episodes are 22 minutes long, and there's only 20 episodes.
Oh,
like not per season, just total. There's only two seasons right now. So, and there's only 20 episodes. There's 10 episodes helpful. Per season.
I'll ask you one more TV show, and then we're going to get on to WandaVision, and then we're going to get out of here. Have you ever seen The It Crowd on Netflix? Or The IT
Actually,
Crowd?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I started watching it. I stopped, but I started watching it. I enjoyed it. I knew most of it through just like Facebook videos.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, they had some of the beats, but yeah, okay. All right. So we're, this is what we do. We have a conversation. We give and take. Yeah. We recommend things to one another. And then sometimes we even listen to those recommendations. It's a good time.
Yeah.
All right. WandaVision. We are into episode 5 is out.
Yes.
You've watched it. I watched it. I rewatched episode 4 before watching episode 5. I found like that's what I've been doing kind of on a week-by-week basis is I'll watch the previous weeks and then I'll go right into, so yesterday I watched episode 4 and then I watched episode 5.
Right.
And I like how they are kind of like telling the stories simultaneously. So you get, what's going on with Wanda and Vision, and at the same time you're getting what's going on, outside of that. I'm trying to tiptoe around things because I don't know how far our listeners are along. You would think, look, folks, if you are taking time to listen to or watch Nerds United before you sit down and watch WandaVision, then your priorities are out of whack. God, we love you, but your priorities are out of whack.
Very true.
I love this show. And I've told Mike and others that, Nerds United is going to be the last, it's my last bastion of podcasting if life becomes too hectic. Like, this is the one that I'm going to hold on to as long as I can.
Right.
But WandaVision is so much better.
So
go watch WandaVision and then come back and listen to us, take us with you on the way to work or something like that. So if we spoil things, there is a hard line spoiler that I will tell you right before we get out. I will warn you in advance. Other things will be accidental, but hopefully you're at least through episode 4 of WandaVision, which would have been last week's episode. And Mike and I are going to, talk a little bit. But I do like how they are, we'll call it the anomaly. We'll call it what's going on with Wanda and Vision, and then what's going on in the rest of the MCU, I suppose. They are telling those stories jointly so that there's cohesion going in and out of that barrier, I suppose.
Yeah.
And did you – I feel like – have you picked up on it? Because I was talking to a buddy of mine about this. Have you picked up on like a timeline of when this takes place?
There was an argument about this on Facebook.
Oh, okay. I missed that. Thank God.
I'm trying to think of what exactly they said, but But there was a part where you see everybody blip back.
Right.
Which the way they did that was really cool. where it was kind of slowly, like, it wasn't just a snap and everybody's back, everybody was slowly coming back.
It was kind of the opposite of what they did in Spider-Man Far From Home, where, you know, like, they're playing basketball and all of a sudden the marching, or the band is right there in the middle of the court again, you know?
Yeah. Well, and in Spider-Man Far From Home, they did it for a comedic effect.
Sure.
And in this one, it was
dramatic effect.
But
look at you. That's the writer mind right there.
Yeah. So whatever time frame that is, so right after they look back.
It would have been essentially during the climax of Endgame.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so that's when Monica Rambeau returns.
Yeah, but it has to be, okay, so now I'm thinking, hold on, it has to be after that because there's also a line, and sorry if this spoils anything for people again, where they mention that they talk about how powerful Scarlet Witch is, which also they said that she doesn't have a nickname.
She doesn't have like an Iron Man, Captain America, Spider-Man, anything.
Yeah,
like
which
that.
I'm like, oh yeah, they've never really called her Scarlet Witch.
No.
In movies. But they mentioned how powerful she is, and then they said that also Captain Marvel could have done, you know, whatever too. So it had to have been slightly, it had to have been at least much after the battle where people are talking about the battle.
Right. And you know, you assume that even, you know, 5 years post snap, you know, that there's some type of infrastructure for internet, you know, where,
right, yeah,
where word's getting out. But I mean, if you say when she is blipped back in episode 4 and you see that, you know, she's in a hospital, she has to, you know, she thinks she's there with her mom, you know, again, not going to go too far. So then she goes back to work. So there's at least a day, you know, and
yeah,
of course, after Hulk snaps everybody back, I mean, that battle is that day. So
yeah,
at this point you're, you know, like, okay, so Wanda is done with the events of Endgame. So is Captain Marvel. You know, and presumably, I don't know, here's the part that does confuse me a little bit, because, you know, when she's sitting down with the new director of S.W.O.R.D., he's like, we have, you know, have to be prepared. There could be enemies in space. And Monica says, well, we have friends up there too, or, you know, help up there, however it's worded. You know, so she's aware of at least Captain Marvel, you would imagine, you know, things like that. So I don't know. I feel like where by the time she gets to the events of her arrival at Westview in episode 4, we got to be like a week in, you know? And then I feel like at one point they say, you know, so it was like 9 days. I think in episode 5, they say, you know, like this was 9 days ago, you know, when Wanda, we'll say Wanda's retrieval mission without giving anything away. So
yeah, no, that's about right.
Okay.
That's probably about a couple weeks.
Wanda, you know, after Endgame, Wanda was at the funeral or the memorial, whatever, for Tony Stark.
Yes.
So there's 3 days, I mean, give or take. It usually, maybe the Avengers can work a little faster than traditional, you know, mortuary services, but it's at least 3 days from death to service. So, I mean, it could be as many as 2 weeks post blip.
Yeah.
Post return, I should say.
Yeah. It's, the collider.com says that it's about 21 days after Endgame. So about 3 weeks.
Okay. I'm all right with that timeline.
Yeah, you're right. You're right on there.
Cool. Cool, cool, cool. So I was really into episode 5. I'll say the friction between our two leads, the acceleration of the twins, which little pun intended, when you know who you know the twins are, and one of them has, you know, his uncle's skill set, we'll say. And again, the final 20 seconds of this podcast are going to be the spoiler alert. Do you have anything that you want to add about episode 5 of WandaVision before we get out of here?
Nope, go right ahead.
Okay, spoiler alert, and then we're done. So if you haven't seen episode 5, if you don't want it to be spoiled, if you've stayed off of Facebook this long, just end the show now. You're not missing anything other than the guest appearance of 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, the Quicksilver from X-Men Universe.
The good Quicksilver.
The what's the actor's name?
Evan Peters.
Thank you. Who, by the way, looks like he bulked up a little bit from his debut in those X-Men movies. So that's it for Nerds United. Holy cow! I saw gray hair when she opened the door, and I forgot that he had kind of like silvered his hair because of Quicksilver. Yeah. And I honestly, for a minute, thought that it was going to be Magneto. Like, I thought it was going to be Sir Magneto himself, Gandalf, Ian McClellan. It was not. But that's our show. Excited for episode 6. Freaking out. And I loved the combative butting of the heads between Vision and Wanda. Good night, everybody. For the co-host of the year, Mike Luther, I'm Greg Mahochko. This is Nerds United. Be kind.
And rewind.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.